have your Bibles this morning. We'll speak to you just briefly about the joy of the Lord. This word joy, it's an emotional thing, but it's far more than that. It is when the heart is content. It's when the heart is satisfied. It's when the heart looks things about them and something gives them peace. And from within, there is an excitement, a thrill, a peace that all is well. Most Christians and almost all people not saved do not know about the joy that God wants us to have. God wants us to have a joy that permeates our countenance. And it doesn't come from the things that we possess. It comes from the promises of God. It comes from the presence of God. The joy of the Lord can make us strong. You'll notice this passage in Nehemiah 8, he says, in verse number 10, the last phrase, he says, "For this is day is holy unto the Lord, neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So there's a certain strength in joy. But so many things nip away at our joy. Fear. Disappointments. A lack of finances. A lack of health. Anything can take your joy away. But God didn't intend for Christians to live in this life without the joy of the Lord. As you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see people that went to the stake, that were burnt alive, that had the joy of the Lord in their heart. And people around them said, "How can they have such joy?" And they wanted to know about the Lord from the way someone died. I've told you before, I used to visit hospitals a lot. When you could visit hospitals as much. And on Monday was my hospital day, and I'd go through different places, different hospitals in Dallas or Chicago or Memphis and visit. And I do enjoy visiting people in the hospital, trying to be an encouragement. But there's something about almost every time I go into a hospital room, there's sort of a cloud there because they're sick. They're either in pain, maybe they're getting out, and there's a joy of getting out. But I remember a lady many years ago. I'd gone to various other ones, and I looked down the list, and I thought it was my last one, and I was going to go visit her, and I walked into the room, and there was this brightness and this cheer. And the people had told me she's only got a few days to live. She's got a terminal illness, and she's dying. So I figured I'd go in the room and see her just sort of laying there. "Hi, Pastor, how are you doing?" I thought maybe I had the wrong room. And I didn't always know the people from our church. I grew up in the church, but there were some older people that had joined I didn't know. And I remember in my mind thinking, this has to be the wrong room. "You're Mrs. So-and-so. I'm kind of new at the church as a pastor." "Oh, no, come right on in. I'm glad to have you. Glad to see you." I said, "It's got to be wrong information." As I talked with her, I left the room encouraged. There was an excitement in her heart. You could just see there was a peace in her soul, and it affected everything about her. I said, "Would you mind if I... as I left, would you mind if I have a word of prayer?" "Oh, no, I would love for you to pray for me. I've been talking to the Lord already this morning, but I'd love for you to talk to the Lord for me." And so we prayed, and I left, and she passed away a few days later. I'll never forget. That was my example of the joy of the Lord. I want you to see that the joy of the Lord comes from three things I've noticed. Number one comes from salvation. If you're here today, I'd like for you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah 61. I want you to see a couple of verses. Isaiah 61, I want you to notice this passage, Isaiah 61 and verse number 10. I'm just going to read a portion of the verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Now, you'll find out that rejoicing in the Lord is permanent. Rejoicing in anything else is temporary. You and I must learn to rejoice in the Lord, in Him. Notice, if you would, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. There is the root of joy. Lasting joy. Now follow with me. Why is he so joyful now? Look, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I want you to notice in verse 10, he says, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The Lord, here's the prophet saying, I will be joyful in my God. I'm going to joy in my salvation. Now turn your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 13. I want you to see this verse, Psalm 13. As you begin to realize that what God has done for us, it should change our heart. It should cause this great joy. And notice, if you would, Psalm 13, verse number 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now, I think one of the things the old devil does, he causes us to forget about, and I don't mean we just permanently forget about it, but it's not in our hearts regularly, the joy of the salvation the Lord has provided for us. I think he wants us to forget about the day we got saved. I think he wants to forget about the inheritance that we have. If you notice, if you would, in this passage, he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. That's the way everybody gets saved. God extends his hand of mercy and says, you don't have to go to hell. I want you to come to heaven with me. Would you trust me as your Savior? So you'll notice, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Lord, I'm going to trust you today. Everybody in this room, there comes a point in time where you have to put your faith and trust in the Lord, or you can't go to heaven. You can't put your faith and trust in the church. Went to the Bible Museum and yesterday, first Friday, and as we watched and looked at the ascension place that they think of Jesus Christ, there's a church there. Gold altars. But you don't sense the presence of the Lord there. There is a place where they say this was his burial. There's a church there, a cathedral. Today, salvation is not in a church. It's not in a cathedral. It's not in lighting candles. It's not in worshiping a golden image of Jesus. It's not in actually reading your Bible. It's not in giving money. It's not in praying for others. It's not in praying, Lord, forgive me of my sins every day. It's not that. That's what a Christian does that already has the gift of eternal life in their heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:10. And what he's trying to get us to understand is there's a point in time where you realize you didn't deserve to go to heaven, but you wanted to. And so you put your trust in the mercy of God to take you to heaven. What else do we have? When the mornings when I get up and I'm praying and I say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. You're the only hope I have. Lord, I remember your word to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, that's what I'm trusting, your word. And a peace comes in my heart. Do you realize, I've been saved 55 years. And I don't remember a day in those 55 years where I laid my head down on my pillow and worried about dying and going to hell. Or wondered if I was going to heaven. Because I trusted his mercy. And there was a joy that came into my heart that has never left. It's why I became a pastor. Because of that joy in my heart that God gave me. I'm going to heaven. My name's written in the book of life. I don't deserve it, but it was a free gift. And you get it if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. He'll forgive you. Today, have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Have you reached out and said, Lord, I need your mercy. I trust you to save me. And once that happens, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's what happens. You're born into the family of God and it's permanent. Now, when you realize what that means, now let's take just a minute. What does salvation mean? It means every day you live on the edge of dying. We're not promised tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's nobody here that can say, I know I'm going to be here tomorrow. Probably you will be. I got a phone call. I got a text yesterday. Please pray for me. My granddaughter committed suicide. 24 years old. No more purpose to live. No joy of salvation. I'm on my way to heaven. I know it. It's settled. And folks, the Lord Jesus didn't save us for us to doubt and to worry. It's the wrong concept. He said, I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life. Take your Bible and turn to Romans. I want you to see this verse real quickly. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this one verse. And I want you to apply it to your heart today. Notice if you would, Romans chapter 6. Notice with me if you would, Romans 6. And look with me if you would. In verse number 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And notice verse 23, for the wages of sin or the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Everybody here can have the gift of eternal life. It is free. It was paid for by Jesus Christ. Notice verse 22. But now being made free from sin, the sin debt is paid for. Do you realize you'll never see your sin again? I used to think about, well, one of these days when I stand before the Lord in heaven, I don't want my sin published and everybody in the whole world look at when I did this and I did that. That'll never happen. Sin has been paid for. It's under the blood of Christ. Only the things that I've done for the glory of the Lord are going to show up. Now I'm going to be embarrassed if I've lived 70 years and I have four or five things I've done for the Lord. I should have a lifetime of things I've done for the Lord at 55. I should have a myriad of things. And the Lord should say, I'm proud of you, son. You've done a lot of things and you honored me. The joy of the Lord is in my heart because I know I'm going to heaven. And that joy is for you and everybody in this room. Do you know that? That's the reason he said in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's important. That joy comes from the peace in your heart that you're on your way to heaven. The joy comes in your heart to know I'm going home no matter when I die. It gives you freedom to live however you would like, only in his will. As a matter of fact, there were Christians that had gotten saved, and then there were some people that looked at those Christians and said, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Notice Romans chapter 6. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We've been given the gift of eternal life by grace. We didn't earn it. It was a gift. Well, notice he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He said, look, how should we that have been forgiven of sin? Aren't you thankful that your sins are gone? Aren't you thankful that you're free and you're on your way to heaven? That freedom ought to cause us to say, I want to live right. I want to watch my words. I want to watch my thoughts. Lord, I want to please you. That should be the result. But joy comes from the absence of fear, I'm on the way to heaven. And it gives us a strength to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord because we have no more fears about dying and going to hell. We have no more fears about one of these days, am I going to go to heaven or am I not? It is a permanent gift to you and I. Have you got the gift of eternal life this morning? If not, you're missing the joy of the Lord. Now, the old devil will try to steal your joy by saying, are you sure? And he'll try to steal your joy by making you to doubt. And so my encouragement to you this morning is accept the joy of the Lord in your heart. Now, I want you to notice not only that, but I want you to see that that from the joy of the Lord comes a great peace in our heart. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5 and notice verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, you express your faith in Christ and he saves you. The faith that you'll take me to heaven if I ask. It's in a promise. I'm going to accept your promise. We have peace with God. There's a peace in our heart. Do you have that peace this morning? Well, you'll notice he says in verse 2, by whom also this Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access by faith into this grace, this salvation grace. And notice, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because one of these days we're going to be in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that joy in your heart? Folks, every time something goes wrong, you can turn around and say, well, I'm still going to heaven. I'm still going to heaven. Nobody can take it from me. It will make the difference in joy of your soul. It is our strength. It is what we rely back on. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know Christ has forgiven me of my sin. I've got the gift of eternal life in my soul. There's a strength there that Satan cannot destroy. But you allow that joy to start thinking about, well, I don't have this. And I don't have that. My car's broken. Well, I don't have good health. Remember what you do have. The joy of the Lord comes from the gift of eternal life and you knowing that you have it. Do you have the joy of the Lord? It will be your strength. But you'll notice not only that, the joy in salvation, but you'll notice a joy in service to the Lord. Notice if you would, Romans, go back to Nehemiah, original passage. Nehemiah, if you would. Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Notice if you would, Nehemiah chapter 8. I want you to see why there was such a joy here. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the people and the great God. Blessed the Lord and the great God. And all the people answered amen and amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. Now notice what happens in verse number 8. Excuse me, verse 7, last phrase. And cause the people to understand the law. So they're reading the law. Notice if you would. And the people stood in their place. Now look back in verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So they go in the middle of the street and they make a pulpit. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, so they read in the book and the law of God distinctly. So they read the scriptures like I just read them, and then they explained them, notice, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept. You know why? As they begin to read the scriptures, they begin to realize they haven't done a lot of things right. They begin to weep. He said, no, look, if you give your heart to serve the Lord, as we have this day, look at us. We're all here. They read a fourth of the day for hours, and then they explained for a fourth of the day for hours. And the people began to understand that God wanted them to serve him, that God wanted them to love them. And notice part of the service, if you would, it says they worship the Lord. You'll notice they bowed their head in verse 6, worship the Lord, their faces to the ground. When you begin to serve the Lord, do you understand service? It is not really, it is not really the kind of thing that we think of it. I want to serve the Lord. I want to worship him. I want to serve him. I want to kneel at this altar and worship him. I want to serve him. Lord, my service to you could be to witness to my neighbor. My service to you could be to leave a track today. My service to you, Lord, could be to lift you up, just to praise you and brag on you. But most Christians get busy with life and we don't serve the Lord. Notice what he says in verse number 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make great myrrh, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood, we want to serve you. We're going to serve you. They worship the Lord. They confess their sin. That's worship. But not only that, to serve him as Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. There's a joy in doing the will of God. There's a joy that no one can take from you when you know you're in the place of God's design for you. Today, are you in the center of God's will? Are you serving the Lord? There is a service to, a lot of times we think people come down to this altar to confess some sin or to pray for somebody. But did you know a service to the Lord is, you can notice that service to the Lord is kneeling at the altar and saying, Lord, I just want to say I love you today. I want to give you my service today, Lord. I want to lift you up. I want to serve you by raising you in my heart, Lord. How many of us have served the Lord already this morning? Our service to him, it's doing something for him. Oh yes, he appreciates it when we go out on a visit, invite somebody to church. He appreciates it when we witness to somebody at the hospital. But he loves it when we serve him. Lord, I want you to know how important you are to me. Lord, I want to serve you any way you want me to. But I want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm afraid we don't serve the Lord much. Do you realize when we step foot inside heaven, the Lord has joy unspeakable prepared for us? But I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25. And notice what he says here. Matthew 25, very famous verse. Matthew 25, notice with me if you would. Matthew 25 and verse number 23. And he said unto them, and he said unto him, one person. This person had two talents in verse 22. And he said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me two talents, and behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. Lord, I have served you. I have worked to multiply your name among other people. Notice verse 23, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. What few things? Worship. Loving him. Lifting him up. Praising him. Oh yes, passing out a tract, witnessing to somebody. But notice, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Joy of the Lord. There is a joy when you personally serve the Lord. We are a sad people many times because we don't realize the salvation that God's given to us. We don't realize who we are, heirs of eternal life. It's already in the bank. We're on our way to heaven today. That should bring you joy unspeakable and full of glory. It ought to make all of us happy. And I'm not just talking about a happy as long as we got a new car and it's happy until the new car smell is gone. It's an eternal joy because the gift is eternal life. And then we begin to serve the Lord. Lord, I want to lift you up, Lord. I'm here for you. Did you know a marriage is much like that? It's we're to serve each other. And that brings a greater joy in being able to do something for your mate. It brings a joy. We've lost the joy in our marriages because it's become selfish. What do you do for me? But when you begin to say, I wonder if I could get my wife a cup of coffee this morning. I'm going to bring her a cup of coffee home when I'm coming home. I'm going to bring her some flowers when I come home. Serving your mate, serving your parents. I wonder what my dad, my mom would like for me to do for them. I think I'm going to make my bed today. I think I'm going to wash my clothes. I'm going to wash my sheets today for mom. I'm going to wash the dishes. A service for a person. When you serve the Lord, there's a joy that's there. And he said, you're faithful in a few things. We don't have to be perfect. He's just saying, I want you to serve me in a few things. And when you're my servant in a few things, I want you to enter into my joy, the joy of the Lord. I'll give it to you. It's permanent. Very few Christians are really serving the Lord. We're abiding by a set of guidelines. Yeah, we come to church because we're supposed to. We give our offerings because we're supposed to. But do you serve the Lord? When's the last time you came to this altar and said, Lord, I just want you to know I want to serve you. You can ask anything, and I'll do it. Lord, I want to serve my wife. I know that's what you asked me to do. If I love you, Lord, I'll serve my wife. It's a part of serving the Lord. Lord, I'll serve my boss. I'll submit. And I'll do what they need, not what I want. I'll submit to you, and I'll do what you need, not what I want. When you serve the Lord, it brings a joy unspeakable. Notice number three, we'll close. There's a joy in surrendering all to Him. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 43. I want you to see this verse. Psalm 43. Notice with me if you would. Psalm 43 and verse 4. Now, serving the Lord and surrendering, similar, but not the same. Verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yet upon the heart will I praise thee, O God, my God. Now notice he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why art thou disquieted? My hope is in the Lord. Folks, that's what brings the joy of the Lord in our heart. That's what caused us to, why would I want to commit suicide? I got the Lord that loves me. I love Him. And I get a chance to please Him today. Folks, today, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is that which gives us the ability to do what we ought to do day by day, to be faithful to the Lord. And He gives us more joy. There are very few people that are happy in the Lord today. But that's supposed to be us. The happiness of the Lord changes people. The altar is not just for sinners. It's for saints that want to serve the Lord and surrender to the Lord. He becomes our greatest joy when we surrender all to him. Lord, I'm yours. I read a little story. Seven men are captured from the Red Army. There was a gentleman who told the story. He was an engineer with the captors. And these seven were to be shot the next morning. The atmosphere was filled with hatred. My soldiers, the ones that I were with, were drunk with victory and taunted the prisoners, the seven men, who swore as much as they could and beat the walls with their bleeding fists. Others called for their wives and their children. At dawn, they were to die. We had the victory, and that was true enough. But the values seemed to be diminished as the night advanced. Something happened. One of the soldiers began to sing. His voice was quiet at first. Then it began to get stronger and stronger. It became natural and free as he had a joy that was inexplicable. He's facing death. All the prisoners turned and looked at the singer, who now seemed to be in his element, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. There by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. And he kept singing over and over, cautioning, sang that verse. And when he had finished, everyone was quiet for a few minutes. What is wrong with you, you fool? He looked at his comrades and his eyes filled with tears. Will you listen to me for a minute? I was at the Salvation Army and I heard about Jesus Christ. At first I laughed at the song but then it got to me. He said, my mother believed and I did too. I lay awake last night. Suddenly, I felt like I had to sing. I prayed. I know the Lord saved me, that Christ forgave me and cleansed my sinful soul, and I am ready to stand before him, who I will meet soon. It was a strange night. Koshnan's face shone like an inward light. There was this joy in his face. Finally, one of the comrades said, you're right, Koshnan. If I only knew that there is mercy for me too. But these hands of mine have shed much blood, and I have reviled God. Now I realize there is a hell, and that is the proper place for me. He sank to the ground and said, pray for me, Koshnan. And then the two red soldiers went down on their knees and prayed. No long prayer, but it opened heaven for both. Let me tell you, shortly by that time, it was 4:00, and all of Koshnan's comrades had knelt and prayed. The change in the atmosphere was indescribable. They talked about spiritual things. The night was almost gone, and no one had a moment's sleep. Sing the song one more for us, Koshnan. The town struck 6. Between the two rows of soldiers, they marched to their execution. And then they, all 7, asked permission to die with uncovered faces and with hands raised to sing to the Lord. And they began to sing, safe in the arms of Jesus. And they were shot. What happened in the hearts of others, I don't know. But as far as I was concerned, I became a new man that hour. I had met Christ. And one of the lowliest disciples I'd ever seen. a nobody, Kashnan. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were to die, yet shall he live. Today, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Even death can't take it away. But you must trust the mercy of Christ. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Oh, the joy of the Lord. Do you have it? Are you struggling? You're carrying a burden? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's leave this morning and say, Lord, give me that joy that passes all understanding. I need it. Father, speak to hearts today. Lord, if there's one here that's never trusted you as Savior, would you help them to trust you? As this engineer did, because of the joy of the Lord in Kashnan's life. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to realize what you've done for us. Let your joy be our strength today. In your precious name we pray. Amen.